I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, I get to bring you a startup company doing a really cool thing with house stories. Amanda Zelke is with us to talk about House Novel. And I got to tell you, it's making me sit here, feel all emotional about houses. So I feel confident you're going to enjoy this conversation. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. If you've never heard of Follow Up Boss, you're going to love it. It's going to get you organized in a way that will actually impact your business for profitability and for better excellence with those you're serving. For more information, go to followupboss.com/crazy. I love that wall color behind you.
Thank you. For your office, you got to have all the zen, right? And you can also see I have my plant babies for the ultimate zen.
So what's the one in the corner? Is that an aloe plant or a zebra?
Yes. Do you live around a Costco? Because they always have aloe plants, a 2-for-1. And I went a little ham and ended up bringing home like 4 aloe vera plants.
I told my husband, we have to have an aloe plant around because if you get burned, that's how you take care of a burn.
I know. We do that too. And we even like when we're making smoothies, we're like, well, this is convenient. Now we even have a superfood in our smoothies.
Okay. So wait a minute. You ate your aloe plant?
Yeah, you can eat them. They're supposed to be super good for you because the healing properties similar to your skin, when you eat it, it's like super good for anti-inflammatory on your inside. Watch your podcast.
Aloe water in the store, but I didn't know you could eat your actual plant, Amanda.
Yes.
I mean, I guess vegetarians would do this all day, every day. It just sounds weirder when you and I say it. But anyway, so welcome to the show and tell my audience who you are and where you're located. And then we're going to dig into the hipstorian factor of yours. I love that word.
Thank you.
So tell my people about you.
Awesome. So I'm Amanda Zelke. I'm located out of Minnetonka, Minnesota. And my husband and I co-founded a home history website called House Novel. And House Novel is a user-generated website that combines home photos, stories, and information on an interactive timeline so that everyone can easily discover and share home information across the nation. I definitely fall under the unintended founder. Actually, when I was in college, I did an assessment and it said, you are most likely not going to be an entrepreneur. You do not like risk. You want stability and you want all these things. And I think that's because my parents were in the entrepreneurship world with their mom and pop shop. He has a clock repair business. And so I know, isn't that amazing? Out of his basement.
I love my clock repair guy. He's like 4,000 years old and I trust him with everything.
So me as a 14-year-old, you can envision me polishing pivots in the basement of my dad's clock shop. And so that's how it all started when I went into college and I was like, I will probably not be an entrepreneur. And then I got into the real estate realm in 2015. I actually entered in the commercial real estate side of things. So I went in doing occupancy planning, real estate planning, and then some communications for Jones Lang LaSalle on behalf of the United Health Group account. So I was in big companies. They are ginormous and over 10,000 employees easily. And I was doing that and I knew that I wanted to advance and I wanted to try marketing. I loved the marketing aspect of things. So then I went into a marketing manager role with Jones Lang LaSalle and then moved up to marketing director for Colliers, also another commercial real estate firm.
Also ginormous.
And the thing I love about commercial real estate is they have all these great tools, these powerhouse tools, and they're great at the big picture ideas and technology on how to be able to forecast in the market trends. And so that's something I always gravitated towards. But then this other side of me always loved kind of the warm, fuzzy, sentimental, you're extra curious about what the story behind that house is. And so I had kind of these pulls in two different directions, both the commercial and the residential side. And it was during the pandemic when we all had a little more time to sit down and think about what we wanted to do next. And I picked up the 4-Hour Work Week, one of my favorite reads to this day by Timothy Ferriss. That gets you thinking and down a huge rabbit hole. And so I went down the rabbit hole being like, I feel like I want to go above and beyond corporate. I want to take a business. Me and my husband, he's also in the commercial real estate side of things and is also obsessed with residential homes. And so we were like, there has to be something that we can do. When I looked back at my chaotic notes with 4-hour work week, residential real estate stood out the most. I mean, if I can make a career out of just browsing Zillow all day, then I would do that.
Right.
So I knew there was something there. And then one day during COVID, when we went to go visit his mom, she picked out this old storage box of photos, and we were just spending the afternoon drinking coffee, going through all of these old photos she had at the house that she previously lived at, which was a 1900s farmhouse that she just glowed, just beaming, talking about all the renovations that they did on it. And then she lost it to foreclosure during the 2008 timeframe. And she actually still has a picture frame of the house, because she painted it with pinks and blues. You know, it's like this adorable, detailed front porch house.
That's heartbreaking.
I know. And so, and we also get very attached to our houses. So we were like, there's two things that we noticed. Number one, these amazing old photos shouldn't be collecting dust in a storage box somewhere in the deep corner of the basement. And these untold stories that are just going to get lost and forgotten over time if we don't do something to capture it. And also we were thinking, you know, these homes are some of the largest purchase decisions that people make, and we get so attached to them. Yet beyond the face value facts, it's pretty hard to find the stories behind them between all the owners and the past of these homes, the renovation progress. Like, what did it look like in the 1900s versus the 1950s, 1970s? So we wanted to figure out a way to combine both the factual data and all of the user generated data, because we believe that the people are the real magic in preserving the history, and everyone has a story to tell and leaves their mark on history. And then if we could combine both the sentimental and the data points, we could really get the full story of a home's backstory. And so that was kind of the idea of how House Novel was ignited.
It's so interesting, because I'm sitting here thinking through a lot of the houses I've sold. And when somebody's transferring a house that they've loved, you're totally right. It's a love story of, we did these floors, we did this backyard, yes, we did this addition, and there it's a pride, but it's almost like it's attached to them. And it's so, real estate is just so different than anything else. And frankly, it's one of the differences between a house that's 60 years old and a house that's 10 years old, because a 10-year-old house ain't going to have that kind of story. Call it what it is. I love my house that I live in. We're the second owners, and it was built in 1973. So when we bought it, it was all plaid carpet and avocado green, because it was,
I was just going to ask,
a one family home. And I'm walking around before we renovate, I'm like, what can I keep? Mm-hmm. And I keep this. I want to keep this. I want to keep this, because I wanted some connectivity to the past. Even now, I go back and look at the pictures from Miss Helen, who lived there before she died. I'm like, well, this was Miss Helen's this. And I never but we're connected through the house. And so I love this concept. And I'm so curious about what kind of house do you live in? Do you live in a cool old farmhouse like your mother-in-law was describing? Or
We have a soft spot for mid-century. Well, for me, it's two extremes. It's like Victorian 1900s, late 1800s, or 1950s and 60s. And so we have a 1956. It's this tiny little house. I always said when we moved into our first house, I was like, I want it to look like I'm the real life Snow White. Like, I want an enchanted little cottage house that is just surrounded by deers and turkeys. And that's exactly what we got. So it's this cute little 1950s house, mid-century. It has all the original hardwoods, which was a huge win for me. Yes. And then I love the big windows. So like the sun just beams through from all different directions. And actually, you can tell the mid-century obsession, because Palm Springs, if you see back there, Palm Springs is my obsession when it comes to architecture in their mid-century. And so, you know, talk about dreamlining.
Well, I think those are some of the best Airbnb. If you look at the Airbnb website in Palm Springs, like some of those houses, you're like,
grab out the popcorn, grab the Zillow, and just go to town. It's an event in itself.
I think if all the people who sat and looked at Zillow like it was their job were a company, it would be bigger than Colliers and Jones Lang LaSalle all put together, because that's like everybody's number one favorite hobby that they probably don't admit to.
Yeah, seriously. Well, and that was the thing. It's like, well, if I'm obsessed with just the face value facts of Zillow, I want to go down a rabbit hole. Like, I want to create a website where I could go down a rabbit hole forever and see. Yeah. So we actually came across one house that we had multiple people contribute to. And there's photos and news clippings of the house from the late 1800s. So we have the original chef listing. Mrs. Forepaws put out a listing to get a chef. She had a painting auction party with her husband. Yes, it was like a gathering. They were put in the news for a glamorous gathering they were having at their home. And then they moved into another one nearby. And I was like, this is my dream come true, to not only get to creep on a house in present day, but also go back to the 1800s and see what life was like at that house.
So basically it's ancestry.com, but around the house. So if I were to look at your, the house novel, are these, can I look at somebody else's house novel, or can I only look at my own? And how did you interconnect it? So, okay. I sold a house. Mm-hmm. And there were, this, I'm gonna get all emotional because this house was so emotional. The son was selling the house. His dad had built it when he got back from Korea. And so I had all of the original receipts, like from the carpet that he paid for and from the masonry. Like, he had meticulously saved every receipt. It was the original blueprints and the adaptations they'd made to the blueprints. I mean, like, you name the detail, it was there, including like the Sears catalog, the pages pulled out of the Sears catalog for what they were ordering for light fixtures. Remember the Sears catalog, right?
Yes. So
that much detail. Buyer didn't want it. And so I was like, you're supposed to want that. I couldn't understand why. Oh. Right? Look at you. You're like, I'm like,
that
I'm
like pains me physically.
You don't, how can you not, how what's wrong with you? But then young people nowadays are not nearly as nostalgic and attached to things as people like you and I are. So I would love to be able, as the realtor, to add that information to the house novel. So even if these ungrateful little young people don't appreciate it, maybe the next buyer in 8 years would still have access to it. So long rambly story to get to it. Did you build it that way so that it can crowdsource in a sense?
That's exactly it. So we kind of wanted to take the best parts of Zillow and Ancestry. So we always describe house novel as if Zillow and Ancestry.com had a baby. It would be house novel, because we want it to be for anyone, not just prospective, you know, sellers, buyers, current homeowners. Even if you're someone in the community or is passionate about the home or preserving the home history, we want everyone to have access. And it's a free platform for anyone to enter that information in. So that's what we wanted to do. House novel is really a testament to be able to enable this kind of community that celebrates and preserves home history together. And so the idea is that anyone can go in and add information that they have, photos, stories, documents, blueprints, anything. And we actually have it listed out. So when you're entering in that story, you can say, hey, I lived here and here's my story in this home. Or you can just say, hey, I'm someone that lives in the community and I just want to help preserve home history. And so no matter who you are, you can just document on the timeline. It will automatically populate. And we encourage multiple people to contribute that together. And so if you go in and it will say, what's the title of this memory or document or information? You can upload up to 10 photos with that memory. And then you can cite where you got it from. And if there's a relevant resource where you pulled it from, then you just link directly to that resource. So that way we make sure that we're providing credit to anyone who's uploading that information.
So let's just say you're a practicing realtor and you want to hang out with the people doing more business than you, because we all know you don't have to recreate the wheel. Guess what? There is a community of highly ambitious, organized, energetic real estate professionals. There are solo agents, teams, brokerages all over the place. They're coming to Follow Up Boss Conference, also known as FUBCon. So maybe you want to take your game to the next level. If you come to Follow Up Boss Conference, you're going to master the 5 biggest levers for building your real estate business over the long haul: systems, marketing, lead conversion, lead retention, and accountability. All 5 are available to you at FUBCon.com. This is November 8th through 10th in sunny Las Vegas. Take a flight out there, write it off on your taxes, get more ideas than you can implement. And if you want to check out Follow Up Boss in the meantime, go to followupboss.com/crazy for a 30-day free trial, where you'll be so sucked in, you'll definitely want to come to the conference and hang out with the people who can help you elevate your business. FUBCon.com. Sign up today. So how do you protect against creepers? So what if somebody is stalking a house and they don't have the best intentions? You and I are obviously well-intentioned lovers of houses. Some people are evil. So how do you guard?
That's a great question. We did three layers of protection. So the first is that we scrape any information for profanities or inappropriate information that goes in on the back end. So we see anytime information is uploaded and it's constantly monitoring that. Then anytime that someone is posting information, they're notified that it is reviewed by the House Novel team to ensure accuracy and make sure that everything looks good to go. So they're notified right up front. And then we also have a crowdsourcing button. So it's along the same lines as like the sharing icon where you can share the home out to family and friends. Right next to that, there's a report icon. So if you see anything suspicious or someone in the community is like, that's not right, that's not fair, don't do that, then you can report it to House Novel. And then we also outlined it in our terms and conditions so people are notified if something is flagged, we have the right to take it down.
So what if it's a house that had, how do I say this nicely, like a murder happen in it, and that's news and it's relevant to the house, but in North Carolina and in many other states, a death in the house is not actually a disclosure item or a material fact because that can stigmatize a house. Yeah. So how do you protect against stigmatization knowing that, well, what's that movie? Nightmare on Elm Street. What's the other hit?
The murder mystery.
No. The classic Amityville Horror House.
I haven't seen it.
Well, that's because it came out in the 60s or 70s. I don't watch horror movies because I can't handle them.
I can't either.
But it showed up on all an audience. Y'all just give us some patience. You know, I think off the top of my head. But it was floating around on Zillow and Realtor.com and all the other websites. The Amityville house was on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's still got rumors that it's haunted and
death
in the house. So I'm just going to go in the wildest direction possible. Of course, I've got my emotional old people house, but now I've got the Amityville horror house, death and ghosts and murders. You can't prove any of it. And so what's the House Novel of a house like that? Is it just all of this random conjecture, or does the homeowner have any say over what gets posted over the house that they now own, even if they're like property owner number 47?
Yeah, that's a great point. So we've heard it both ways. Some people reach out and they're like, you got to put all the murder stuff out there. People are super obsessed with learning about the crimes where Marilyn Monroe died or things like that. And people are like, elevate it. And then other people are like, I don't know if I want something disclosed if there was a murder in the house, you know, if I'm trying to sell it or something.
Right.
And so we know it's not for everything or everyone. And we put that report feature specifically for that if someone currently living there is uncomfortable. But we also believe that any home purchase should be as transparent as possible, and that anyone who would be purchasing the home does deserve to know the history of the home since it is one of the largest purchases they're making. I think people want more information about the house, both in terms of what's occurred there, its past, the renovations, the codes, everything. So we really believe and take the approach of the most transparency around a home purchase, the better. But do want to provide that safeguard if someone's uncomfortable or someone doesn't have the best intentions with posting information, whether it's true or not, on there, to be able to make sure that we're monitoring both for accuracy and making sure people feel comfortable in the space. But people do.
You're right.
There's this Victorian mansion that's in St. Paul, and people love talking about the ghost stories. It was one of the main attractions, and it was one of the things that people talked about with their posts, and it was converted into a restaurant, and people would look for that ghost to see if he would pop up while they were eating their food, which I love.
So why wouldn't you? I mean, that's the main reason you probably go there, and they probably charge exorbitant prices for this, everything they have, just because you can look for the ghost.
Exactly. So I know if I was a potential home buyer, I probably want to know if someone was murdered in my house, but again, to each their own.
Well, there's an episode that my audience knows I post. They all asked me to tell my story. And I was telling about this time my cousin killed his wife in the house and I had to sell the house, and it was a whole thing. But don't worry, he found Jesus now, so it's all okay. But
great.
Every time we had a showing, the neighbor would come outside and say, we're like, lady, I'm trying to get you a neighbor. There's no secrets here, but stop. And she was trying to scare people off from the house. And it's like,
and that's not fair either.
Not being helpful here, because inflammatory is different than transparent. But as a realtor, I totally agree. Like the transparency piece, if somebody can go to Google and find it, you're better off going ahead and let people know about it up front. So they don't think you're trying to do anything shifty, shady. And
exactly.
frankly, we all have warts in our past. You may as well learn how to embrace it.
Just embrace it and move forward and figure out how to use it for the best, you know? And I think that when we're looking at these home things, it's so true. It's like now the consumer has so much more access to information than they've ever had before. And if someone wants to know anything about the house, they can just Google the house address and they're going to see anything associated with it regardless. Right. So I think it's better from someone who's trying to sell the house or a realtor going into the home to be able to provide the value in other ways and beyond the face value facts about the home and that history that they can already find and showing that they have their best interest at heart.
Of course. Okay. So I know that, you know, the whole premise of my show is the crazy parts of real estate and things that you never, ever expect. And you've kind of given us a couple of little tidbit stories, but did you bring me like a big juicy something that you've learned either along the way in commercial or in your hipstorian new life that you want to tell people about that they just won't be able to believe?
Yeah. So we just launched back in February and this is our first time. Yeah.
This is so new.
I know. So it's been it was a year and a half of development in itself. And then we just launched officially and we did it starting more so launching it on the Minnesota level to make sure we got the user testing, everything like that, and have just recently started going for the national. So keep in mind, these are two corporate people that are trying to learn how to start a business for their first time. And if we hit a rocky road or if someone's going to hit a rocky road, we hit it. And so we were super excited to be featured on the front page of a newspaper called Star Tribune, which is something we were just pumped about. And we got to
It's a real paper.
Yeah, it was so exciting to us. And we couldn't wait because it was our first big exposure on the front page to be able to show and talk about House Novel. But with blessings come a little bit of a side curveball. So we got a ton of traction, which was awesome. But we also ran out of server space and it crashed the site.
Oh, no.
So we're sitting there elated. Talk about the most bipolar experience of our life for that hour. We're sitting there. We're pumped. We got texts. It's like, your news article is up. And we're like, oh, my gosh, we see people coming into the site. We can't wait. This is so much volume. And then everything crashes and people can get into the site. But what happened was the user verification to sign up for them to be able to actually add their information was delayed by over an hour. And so we're trying to get in and, you know, it's the weekend that it was launched. It was the Sunday edition. So we were extra excited. And so then the email server people, when we had already bought more server space and we're like, we're running out of server space, got to keep buying more. And then we are reaching out to our email company and we're like, help, help, help. People need to get in to have the user experience. So
they're like, it's Sunday.
They're like, sorry, business hours are Monday through Friday. And so it definitely just was not the user experience that we were hoping for with the first big push, but then it ended up being great. We did send up like three frantic emails, all with like capitalized help, and it got resolved within the hour and it was great. And the website ran smoothly from there. But let me tell you, going from the highs and lows of that, when it's your first big, you know, exposure and it's your baby and it's something you've put endless time into, it was a whirlwind.
I mean, I'm so excited to hear you made the paper in the Sunday edition. And then, oh my gosh, because if it takes an hour for somebody to get verification, and an hour in today's world is essentially a century. It's like a life cycle.
They're like, broken site, what's going on?
So
that was a day, all right.
No, I think that's a marker that you've hit on something really good and really necessary, and people are going to enjoy it. So I'm so excited for you, and I can't wait to go log in and go look up some houses myself, and maybe I'll add my own little house history on there whenever North Carolina comes up on the map.
I would love that. Yes, please do. Any single time I see a house come up or I see like original watercoloring renderings and everything, I'm just like favoriting houses like mad. I'm just following all the houses. I love it.
You're like, I like you people too. Totally playing favorites, but we get to do that with houses because some houses are favorites, like that one, your mother-in-law in the lost farmhouse. I'm still a little heartbroken myself, and it's not my family. It's not my house.
I know. And the saddest part is it was torn down and, you know, there's a beautiful new house there, but it's just like the current homeowners probably have no idea what was once there and all the memories of them growing up. And it's just like so many people's lives you know, occur in these houses. And it's just, they have such long lives. And actually one of our favorite taglines is like, so what's the story of this house? And just the perspective through a house's perspective, you know, it's like these homes have their own life and have seen so much. It's, we want to get a glimpse of that journey in the past.
Maybe that's a good question. Realtors should be adding to their listing consultations is the story of the house instead of the upgrades and the improvements. It's a little different way to say it. So I might have to noodle on that a little bit, Amanda. So in the meantime, if somebody wants to go to your improved website that shall not crash, as far as we know, what's the best way to go check out the Hipstorian and this amazing house novel product you've created?
Yes. So our website is housenovel.com. And you can also reach me at my email, amanda.zielke, Z-I-E-L-I-K-E, at housenovel.com. We also have an Instagram handle and a LinkedIn handle, and you can also reach me on LinkedIn.
And of course, all of those links that Amanda just mentioned, don't worry, they're all in the show notes for this episode. So you can go click and connect, click and connect, click and connect, and then upload a house and go tell a house story yourselves. Amanda, thank you so much for coming on the show, and congratulations on your new venture. I am so excited to see something as cool as this enter the real estate space, and I wish you giant success.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. All right, friends, say something nice to Amanda in the comments before you head out, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, now don't forget to go try Follow Up Boss so that your business can continue to expand in professionalism, and then you can meet some more crazy people yourself. I really appreciate Follow Up Boss sponsoring this episode, but mainly I appreciate them for giving y'all double the free trial time with no credit card required. So make sure you go to followupboss.com/crazy and then let me know what you think. I'll see you guys next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at @LeeThomasBrown or tweet me at @LeeBrown or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.